It's Monday night and time to talk football. Welcome to the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Now, here's your host, Chris Beckham.
Broadcasting live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios on this Monday night, this is the High School Football Report, brought to you by Cass Birch Automotive. I'm Chris Beckham. Thanks for joining us. On this Monday night, we finally got some football in South Georgia to talk about. That's exactly what we're going to do for the next hour. Again, as had an exciting first weekend of football, as it always is. Thankfully, we did have a few small lightning delays in some of the games, not here in South Georgia, but in other parts of Georgia, which affected South Georgia teams. But for the most part, it was a warm and muggy Friday night. High school football week one is now in the books. We'll review some of the games from last Friday night. We'll tell you which game garnered the honor of our game of the week, also our win of the week, and also our player of the week. We'll be talking more about that as we review last Friday night's games. We'll also take a look at what's coming up on the docket this weekend. We've got games on Friday and Saturday, including one very big one coming up Saturday. We'll tell you more about that, and also tell you the 10 games we'll be focusing on this coming Friday night as part of our football Friday night package, the 10 games that we will be selecting, including our upcoming game of the week. One of the great games is coming up, and the rekindling of a fantastic rivalry here in South Georgia is going to be, though they give a lot of different nicknames, the Nightmare on Jackson Street, the Rose City Rumble, whatever you want to call it, is Thomasville and is Thomas County Central, and they'll be squaring off coming up this Friday night. Randy Young is a longtime voice of the Thomas County Central Yellow Jackets, and he will be joining us later on to talk about this rivalry, week one for the Yellow Jackets, which was a good one, week one for the Thomasville High Bulldogs, which ended in a loss, but considering what they're coming back from last year, not a night without benefit for the Bulldogs under new head coach Zach Grage. That's a great rivalry over in Thomasville. Once upon a time, these two teams squared off for the state championship right there at Thomas County Central, and they're not going to be able to do that anymore as they are now in different classifications, but the rivalry is one of the great ones in South Georgia, and Randy will be talking about that coming up later on. So we got a lot to talk about on this Monday night, and again, we'll be doing it right after this first break. We appreciate the fine folks at Citizens Community Bank, of course, the Holiday Inn and Conference Center, and of course, the great folks at Cass Birch Automotive in Valdosta and in Quitman. More coming up right after this. Stay tuned. You're listening to the High School Football Report.
Now, more of the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Here's Chris Beckham.
Once again, broadcasting live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios on this Monday night. This is the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive, and again, also partnered along with our great friends at the Holiday Inn and Conference Center, Highway 84, right here in Valdosta, just off of exit 16. Stop by and see them. Go by and get your great lunch or dinner at the Zaya's Lounge. And again, they do it every single day. Fantastic food, great banquet facilities, any kind of meeting you may need. The Holiday Inn and Conference Center could take care of all of that for you. All right, talking about last Friday night. I say it was the first week of high school football season. Not exactly true. GISA teams had a game or a week under their belt. But for the Georgia High School Association teams, for a lot of them, we did have plenty with the week off last week. But many of them did get kicked off, and in a big way. Again, some of the results, and you know all these scores already, and we're going to delve a little bit deeper into them. Our game of the week last Friday night was the Wintersville Classic Lounge versus Valdosta, Bazemore Hyder Stadium. A lot of people thought this would be a very close game. A lot of people thought that it would be a very low-scoring game. Not so. Valdosta winning 38-13, the largest margin that they have had in a number of years, and due to a lot of different things. A lot of things played into this game at Bazemore Hyder Stadium. Ironic in that Valdosta, which suffered from special teams miscues in their scrimmage with the Cairo High Syrup Makers, benefited from special teams. James Bushware with a 35-yard punt block return for a touchdown that happened in the second quarter. That was that kind of, well, it evened things up. It got actually gave them the lead. Valdosta was trailing 7-3 at the time after a Davis Baldwin field goal. And Hunter Holt got the two-point conversion as well to give the Cats an 11-7 lead, their first lead of the game, first lead of the season. It was a lead that they would not relinquish. They added a Josh Belton long touchdown run right before halftime to go up at half 18-7. Second half, another special teams big play, Jace Rogers. Wildcat fans have been very used to seeing this young man make big plays, both on defense and on special teams. This time it was an 84-yard punt return for a touchdown. So Valdosta scored just about every way imaginable. Actually, they did not have a passing touchdown, a couple of running touchdowns. Tevin Gray added one as well. A defensive touchdown late. Jalen Everett returned an interception 40 yards for another score. So, again, a big night for the Wildcats as they got off to a 38-13 win. And not only was it a win over your rival, which is always big, it's not a region win, obviously, this early in the season. However, it was the 900th win for Valdosta High School, the only high school football team in America that's ever achieved 900 wins. And coming up later on, we'll give you a list of those top five teams nationally, those four teams that trail Valdosta. And also win number one for Alan Rademacher, the former defensive coordinator who is now the head coach of Valdosta. So certainly very meaningful for him as well. So the takeaway from this, well, Valdosta, a lot of fears were allayed after that scrimmage where they looked a little bit shaky. That gives them a lot of momentum going into the rest of the season. They have a very tough schedule. For Lowndes, again, a tough first game, obviously. Offense struggled. Still breaking in some guys. This is no reason for Viking fans to fret too much. Obviously, a big loss to your crosstown rival, that one hurts, and I get it. But this is the first game of the season. Just like we said with the scrimmages, not a time to start ordering state championship rings, not a time to start tearing up season tickets. It's a long, long season. And as somebody mentioned today, well, if they win the rest of them, then nobody's going to remember this one. They'll remember this one, but it won't have the sting that it does right now. So, again, big, big win for Valdosta. Certainly congratulations to Valdosta fans. Three in a row over your crosstown rival. That is nothing to sneeze at, and a big win certainly that the Cat Nation is still celebrating. And as a matter of fact, that is our win of the week. And that's a little bit different than our game of the week. The game of the week is going to be the most competitive game we see each week. The win of the week was simply the biggest win for any of the teams. And when you're talking about becoming the only high school with 900 wins, I think that just about says it all for the Valdosta Wildcats. So congratulations to that team for getting our win of the week. Our upset of the week happened down in Florida. The Camden County Wildcats went down to Oak Leaf, which is just in outside of Jacksonville in Orange Park, Florida, losing 27-13. Now, this is an upset. Oak Leaf now is no slouch. They're a 7A school out of Florida, 8-2 last year. They did not make the playoffs. They're in a very tough region down in Florida. As Buchholz High School, which is a team that we've known over the years, plays very good football. Bartram Trail there in Jacksonville. Carl Parker, Lanier County head coach, used to coach at Bartram Trail. Also a very good team. Oak Leaf finished third in that Region 1 down in District 3 in Florida, but still with an 8-2 record. So, obviously, this is a school, although young, has only been around for about 5 or 6 years, has had some success. Camden County is on the road with a very young football team. We talked about that over the last couple of weeks. Not a lot of experience coming back offensively. Brandon McMaster, the most experienced back, transferred to Brunswick High School, so you don't have him breaking in a new quarterback. This was an upset because Camden County is so highly thought of in the state of Georgia and has a great history of success. And anytime you lose your first one to a team that generally people in South Georgia don't know a whole lot about, although they have been successful in Florida, that does classify for our upset of the week, however. And so it's going to be big for Camden County to bounce back. We'll tell you what's coming up on the Wildcat schedule this week. Of course, Saturday night, the game up at the Corky Kell Kickoff Classic, Colquitt County losing to Mill Creek. Now, a lot of people, I'm sure, are saying, well, Chris, how is that not the upset of the week? Colquitt County, 30 in a row, back-to-back state champions. Well, this was a very competitive game in the second half. Mill Creek jumped out against a young Colquitt County football team. Mill Creek jumps out 20-0. Colquitt County battles back, and I mean they made this thing a game. 34-27, a long touchdown from Jay Saunders to J.J. Peterson with about 2 or 3 minutes left. Mill Creek got the ball back and put together a couple of first downs to salt away the win, and so certainly hats off to Mill Creek. I think for Packer fans, you're upset at the loss, something that you are not used to, obviously. But the takeaway from this game is that your team kept battling, did not quit, shaking up down 20 at halftime, made a game of it, outscoring Mill Creek 27-14 in the second quarter, a lot that you can hang your hat on. So big offensive numbers for the Packers as well. First-time quarterback Jay Saunders, Chase Parrish's backup last year, 26-43, 315 yards, three touchdowns. He did throw two interceptions, including a critical one late in the game deep in his own territory, which set up a Mill Creek touchdown. But still, you throw for 315 yards in your first start and three touchdowns. That is not too shabby. Torrey Ponder had a big night receiving, eight catches for 88 yards, also scored a touchdown. Colquitt's got some weapons. Torrey Ponder's a good-looking receiver. Again, John Schenker, the big tight end, only had a couple of catches. He did punt the ball pretty well, averaged 43 yards a kick. Defensively, they've got players, as we know, J.J. Peterson, linebacker, looked very good. I tell you what, Nelson Lewis also, a defensive lineman, he has six tackles, including three for a loss. He had a good night. Therese Barge, 10 tackles. Ty Leggett, 10 tackles. So they got some guys who made some plays, and that's to be expected. But, again, this is a very young football team. And you're talking about taking on Mill Creek in the Corky Kell Classic, a very solid Atlanta area team. They're going to come back and take on American Heritage on a Saturday night. That's coming up this week in Moultrie. American Heritage, very highly regarded team nationally out of Florida. That's going to be another tough test. I think Packer fans can feel good about the way your team came back in the second half. Saw that young team grow up a little bit. Got some big kicks from Ryan Fitzgerald, the kicker, taking over for Baby Lou. He had a couple of field goals. So, on the whole, not one that you want to lose, but to a very good team. And with your young team, there's a lot that you can take away from that game. Tiff County fans are saying, hey, we're the only unbeaten team in the region 7A after the first night, Tiff County winning over South Effingham, 41-0. And this is a team that, quite frankly, Tiff County should have taken to the woodshed. South Effingham not on Tiff County's level. But a couple of high points. Griffin Collier, watch out for this young man. He started all last year as a sophomore for the Blue Devils, put together some very good numbers. First night, 8 of 9 for 225 yards and a couple of touchdowns. Rashad Bateman, who is committed to Georgia Southern, although he's only a junior, getting to play on Paulson Stadium, on the field that he'll be playing as a collegian here in a couple of years. He had two long touchdowns, four catches on the night, very good night. And Tiff County's defense gets a shutout. And I don't care who you're playing, if you keep him to a goose egg, that's a good night's work. And that's what Tiff County got. This is an improved Tiff County team that does have people returning. And I think that's going to bring up a point that we've talked about. Doesn't matter what letters are on your chest or on your helmet, if you lost a lot of starters from last year, these new guys got to earn their wings. Tiff County, a veteran team coming back, and I think we saw some of that. I say a veteran team. Tiff County is still a junior-laden team. I think 23 seniors, 45 juniors. So they're planning to make some noise this year, but there are a lot of good things in store for Tiff County in the future. Coffee also with a big win as we go through Region 1-6A. They won 40-13, the Irk Russell Classic. They had a lightning delay, by the way, in Tiff game. That made Coffee game a very late kickoff. The Coffee's defense stood up, did a very good job against Effingham County. Other teams in that region, Northside Warner Robins just trounced Warner Robins 55-3. Of course, Houston County and Lee County both won on the Thursday night version of the Corky Kell Kickoff Classic. And today, if you look at the Score Atlanta ratings, now you're going to see a lot of ratings over the next few weeks. The Georgia High School Football Daily has their rating. The Score Atlanta has theirs. If you look at the Georgia High School Daily, which is the daily newsletter, which if you're not getting it, you're missing out. In the Class 5A, Houston County 1, Northside Warner Robins 2, Valdosta jumps from number 9 to number 3, Lee County jumps from 7 to 5, Coffee jumps from 8 to 6. All five teams in the top 6 in the Georgia High School Football Daily ratings. In the Score Atlanta ratings, the top 5 in the state's 5A are those five region teams. We've been telling you how tough that region is going to be. I think that's a good example of it last Friday night. We're going to see more and more of that. We'll tell you about the schedules coming up this weekend later on. Other big wins, Thomas County Central with a big win, impressive win over a Worth County team that had beaten them two straight years. Thomas County Central winning 48-7. Cairo wins the syrup pitcher over Thomasville 23-12. Our game of the week was over in Quitman. The Brooks County Trojans and the Cook High Hornets, Marius Freeman's bunch, finding a way to get it done in overtime over a tough Cook High team. And this was a game that had a lot of fumbles, not, first game, some sloppiness. We kind of expect that. But Cook came back and tied the game on an incredible play. Brooks County scored a touchdown. Naquavius Sutton had an 18-yard touchdown run to give Brooks a 14-6 lead with about 6 minutes left to play. Cook, who had problems holding on to the ball, finishing drives, but they put it all together on one big drive. Sedarius Arnold, the quarterback, Brandon Doe, the running back. Brandon Doe, by the way, had 176 yards rushing for Cook on the night. Got the ball downfield with a minute 12 remaining in a great, great drive. Arnold finding Gunnar George in the end zone on 4th and 20 for the touchdown. And on the two-point conversion to tie the game, Darius Cleveland being dragged down but got into that end zone to tie the game, took it into overtime. Quarterback Mac Perry for the Brooks County Trojans scored on a keeper, and then that Brooks County defense rose up and brought the hammer and ended the game by stopping Cook on their possession. So, again, Brooks County gets the win. Typical first game. I think both coaches, Bobby Jones and Cook, Maurice Freeman of Brooks County, proud of how their team responded. See a lot of things they can clean up. Again, 9 fumbles and the critical ones at times. So, typical first game. Things you can build on, things you can celebrate, things you need to work on. And that was our game of the week. That was the closest game that we had all night long. Other scores from around the area, Pelham of Albany, 21-12. Irwin County looking strong again. They've gone to the state championship back-to-back times. They put it on Berrien County, 42-7. Clinch County looking very strong in their debut, expected 47-7 over Blakely County. The Valwood Valiants bounced back with a win, 31-17 over Memorial Day. Tift Erie getting a tough win down at Georgia Christian, 15-7. Southland knocking off Westfield in GISA. That's a big win. Westfield's going to play them at Valwood this week. Westfield only lost 2 games last year, both to Valwood, including one in the playoffs by only 1 point. And they were the state champions the year before that, so that's kind of a surprising loss to Southland, 12-6. And so a lot of games last Friday night, a lot of things you can hang your hat on. And but, hey, it's week one, so don't get too fretted about it. Well, coming in later on, we'll tell you who our player of the week after week one is. And after this break, we're going to talk to the longtime voice of the Thomas County Central Yellow Jackets, Randy Young, going to preview the Rose City Rumble. And that's going to be coming up right after this as we broadcast live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios. This is the High School Football Report presented by Cass Birch Automotive. We'll have more right after this.
And now, more of the High School Football Report presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Here's Chris Beckham.
Back on the High School Football Report presented by Cass Birch Automotive. And broadcasting live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios on this Monday night. We do it every Monday night, 52 weeks a year, because it's just that big of a deal here in South Georgia. And again, we appreciate the great folks at Citizens Community Bank. 4 locations in Hayhira, Morven, 2 in Valdosta. World-class banking with hometown decisions made by your neighbors. And that's what makes them so special at Citizens Community Bank. Coming up later on, we're going to preview some of this coming weekend's action, week 2 of the Georgia High School football season, and one of the great games and the rekindling of one of the great rivalries in South Georgia will be happening in Thomasville. The Thomas County Central Yellow Jackets and the Thomasville High School Bulldogs. Randy Young is the voice of the Jackets, and he joins us tonight. Randy, how are you?
I'm doing good, Chris. Pleasure to be here, as always.
We appreciate your time, as always. And I know it was the, before we go into what's coming up this Friday night, is there an official nickname to this by War of the Roses, Nightmare on Jackson Street? I've heard about a dozen, and I like them all.
I like the Rose City Rumble. I think that's probably the most appropriate one. I mean, we've had Nightmare on Jackson Street back when the Nightmare on Elm Street movies were popular, but that was a while back, Chris.
I'm dating myself, yes.
Dave, me too. Me too. But, yeah, the Nightmare on Jackson Street, Rose City Rumble, War of the Roses. I mean, there's a bunch of them, but it's a pretty good rivalry, anything you call it.
Well, it is. And, again, it's always good to come into the rivalry with a little bit of momentum, and that's what you've got after a big win over a Worth County bunch that had gotten you the last 2 years. And Jason Tone has done a good job with that program over the last couple of years. But it's Friday night was the Yellow Jackets night.
Yeah, we played well from the get-go and played solid on both sides of the ball. And I think that Worth may have gone into it with one arm kind of tied behind the back a little bit. It sounds like in talking to some of their folks after the game, they had a couple of linemen, offensive linemen, that weren't able to play. And they had some key folks that just weren't able to go, and I don't know why that was. I think one of them had a heat stroke kind of sort of during the week of the game, and two of them fighting concussions. So, yeah, I mean, I don't want to put too much stock into it, but given the fact that, like you said, I mean, I think they've got that program turned around, and they had owned us pretty well the last 2 years, beating them 48-7. And, I mean, it could have been whatever we wanted. It's a good sign. It's a step in the right direction.
Well, and when you have a score like 48-7, I think naturally your inclination is to talk about how great the offense was, and it was. But I think with what's happened the last couple of years and the struggles that a young and banged up Yellow Jacket defense have had, I think defense was really against a team that loves to run the football and runs it well. That defense really showed up.
Yeah, it did. It did, and you're right. The attitude difference based on what we saw a year ago is 183. I mean, we opened the season without Asa last year, and they ran up and down the field on us. I mean, we couldn't stop them. We just couldn't stop them. And we had some coaching changes that we made last year that, you know, it was one of those things. You know, sometimes it's just not a good fit. I mean, and that happens in any job. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you hire somebody, and what they bring to the table, even though they're good folks, and where they came from and what they were doing, they were solid in your scheme of things. It just doesn't fit. And I think that's what happened, and we ended up being able to get Lamar Landing, who was the defensive coach over here under Richie Marsh when Coach Marsh was coaching at Thomasville, and Michael Lovejoy, who was a Central boy from back in the day, and Daryl Jones from over in Cairo, who was looking to make a change for himself. We got those three guys on the defensive side of the ball, and if nothing else, they understand this part of the world, and I don't know that the guys that we had kind of calling the shots last year really did. They were all from Florida. Nothing against Florida, but it's a different breed of ball, and familiarity is a good thing when you're preparing for these teams around here, no doubt about it.
That's right. My man Mike, I was love to see Mike Lovejoy back in the after coaching in Thomasville, and Mike went to school with me back in the day, and is a great guy and a very good football coach, and again, it's just that is something, and just talent and size. I mean, that's what I keep hearing from all my friends in Thomasville is we're just bigger up front than we have been, and that's needed. So.
Well, what you got, Chris, is you've got two sets of guys that for the last 2 years have started off and on, but then one of them would get hurt, and then two of them would get hurt. Then one was ineligible, and then the other ones would come back, and then the other ones were hurt, and then another one was ineligible. I mean, you just didn't have a complete set. Well, this year, all of them are healthy. All of them are able to go. So we have really a rotation. I mean, it's very unusual. I don't remember the last time we were in the situation of guys, smallest one's 260, and you go up from there. And they're all athletic. They can move. And you combine that with a couple of very athletic defensive ends, solid linebackers. That's what you want, and that's what we've got. I mean, I saw it against Wayne County in the scrimmage a couple weeks back, and I thought to myself, you know, I know Wayne's kind of starting over. They lost their coach late in the game last year in the spring, and you didn't want to put too much stock in it, but then you play a Worth County team that you know is better than they have been, that knows how to run that wing T. And, I mean, they had two first downs in the first half. It was 41-0 at the half.
Wow.
And, yeah, I mean, definitely a change for the better, but we'll learn more about ourselves this week with a Thomasville team that's got some talent on their running offensive side of the ball. They move the ball well against K-Run.
Again, this is a rivalry that goes back a long way, well, ever since Thomas County Central, I guess, became Thomas County Central back in the early 60s. And you know, like most of the things, you know, you're a new kid, just like it is with Austin Lowndes for years. Thomas will own this thing, and then you get into, you know, the 80s and certainly into the 90s and 2000s where Central really, you know, a bigger school had the run of things. But this is a rivalry that should be played, and it's been, I guess, a couple of years that it has been played. So I'm glad to see it back on the schedule.
Yeah, and I think the community's missed it. You know, this is one of those things that I don't want to say it's like Lowndes and Valdosta because it's not. It's changed so much. I mean, back in the day, back in the 60s, Thomasville was by far the superior program. They were the much bigger school. Central was the kind of the redheaded stepchild in the arrangement, and Thomasville dominated. I mean, the first 10 teams that we played against Thomasville, they outscored us. I think it was 330 to like 35 or something. I mean, it was awful. Mm-hmm. But, you know, again, the county guys kept going at it and kept moving at it and kept trying to improve themselves. That's the one thing that I've always liked about the arrangement of having these two schools here. They've always pushed each other to kind of improve. And back in the 70s, we beat them in 76, but they still kind of owned the series. But then Charlie Ward back in the mid-80s turned that a little bit, and then it just blew wide open. They've won two times since 1993.
Wow. And yep. I still maintain that the greatest high school game that I've ever seen, well, certainly in the top three, the greatest games I've ever seen live was if it was at Thomasville High School where this game's going to be played in 1986, 35-28. Just, I mean, it was a great game, but just a collection of talent on that field. Well, oh, my gosh.
Listen, those 2 years in 86 and 87, I think the Thomasville folks would tell you arguably those are the most talented Thomasville teams ever. And I think the Central people would tell you the same thing about Central. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. In 86 and 87, you got Alfonso Ellis, Eric Curry, Alex Mash, Sean and Mike Jones, Jerome Williams.
Big Rusty Parrish was on the offensive line.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And that's the Thomasville guys. And then you got Charlie Ward, and then you've got Tommy Raines. You got Richie Roddenberry, Cedric Small, Freddie Guyton, all these guys that played collegiate careers. And I'll never forget it, the 1987 playoff game, three of the four captains that met at midfield for the coin toss went on to win national championships in college.
How good is that?
And that ain't bad.
Yeah.
You know, and a Heisman Trophy thrown in there to boot. So, yeah, no question about it. I agree with you. But I'll go you one further. I mean, the 93 championship game with Central and Thomasville playing each other.
Yeah.
Was unlike anything I've ever been through. I don't want to go through that again. It really was. It wasn't a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But it was unlike any football game that I've ever seen high school-wise in this area. And that's not dissing anybody. But when you've got two teams 1 mile apart playing for the state championship, that's pretty doggone impressive.
Yeah, as most folks know, I grew up in Thomasville. I was at that game. They made everybody on the sidelines get on our knees. So we would move and get back down on our knees real quick, not to be thrown out or something like that. But I can remember. I grew up. I went to St. Augustine's Catholic Church right across the street, and I kept saying, "Can I park here? I'm a member here." But I said, "You get out of here. We don't care if you're Catholic or not. You cannot get in here." So
that night, I don't know that you could have fit another soul into that stadium.
Yeah.
And it literally came down to the last play of the game. Central had one more play in them and won 14-12, and you know that game could still start fight. I mean, here we are. 23 years removed from it, because Thomasville had a spot in the fourth quarter where they thought they had scored a touchdown to go ahead.
Yeah, that's right.
And the officials didn't call it a touchdown. The officials said the ball never crossed the plane, and that's when they started the rumor that you had to go through the McDonald's drive-thru to score a touchdown on that end of our field. And, you know, that you have to be careful what you say about that one. That one can still start fights around here.
Well, and the other good news, as you talk about momentum going into this, and again, Central winning the other Friday night, Zach Grage, and we had Zach on the show back right after he took the job back in the spring. You can just tell, and of course, my family's all still over there, and as a matter of fact, my nephew's playing for Thomasville. I'm like, it's so hard to see those guys wearing red and gold these days, so things change, but you can just tell, you can tell the enthusiasm is there. You can tell it when we had Zach on the show. He said, listen, we're going to walk the halls. We're going to get kids out. We're going to teach them what it's like to be a part of a winning atmosphere on and off the field. And even after just one game with Cairo, you can kind of sense that that's happening.
Well, there's no question. In fact, you look at the numbers they had go out. Chris, again, we're talking a double-A school here. I mean, the school has total enrollment of less than 800, and they had right at 100 kids out. And for a double-A school, that's very unusual, and that tells you about the level of excitement, and no question about it. I mean, he brings a different attitude, a different approach to the game, and I think that and there's nothing against Coach Riles, Leroy Riles, who was here, because he did a fantastic job too. But again, sometimes you just don't have it just doesn't fit.
Yeah.
And I think Coach Riles' system and what he wanted to do here just didn't jive with what the Thomasville folks wanted to see and what they were used to. And I think at least at this point, it appears to be working for him. And of course, you look on the other Central side, and you got Coach Shaver, who's been there forever, and that's one good thing too. If nothing else, whenever you see Thomas County Central line up, you know what you're going to get. I mean, you're going to see that split back beer. You're going to see basic, very aggressive defense, and you know, this year solid special teams with a young lady as a place kicker, which is a first for us as well.
How about that, Lauren Pearson, who hit four extra points the other night, and I've not had a chance to see the young lady play, but obviously she's got a pretty good leg on her.
Yeah, well, actually, she hit 5 of 6. The guy who wrote the newspaper story missed got that was, I don't know why in the world he missed that. That was me actually writing that story. But she hit 5 of 6, and the one that she missed, the snapper mishandled the snap. But she was in on the tackle of the Worth County guys. They tried to grab the ball, and she helped take them down. And she came out in the spring and told Coach Shaver that she wanted to give it a shot. Our regular kicker, or what was going to be our starting kicker, is playing a little north of here now. And I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, yeah.
And Yeah. She said she wanted to give it a shot. And Coach Shaver, of course, you know, you're one of these old school guys, and you got a young lady coming up saying she wants to give you an opportunity or wants an opportunity to play on your football team. I'm sure he probably kind of squinted his eyes a little bit, but when he saw her kicking, he said, okay, let's give this a shot. And she has just been awesome.
Yeah.
She's the short distance PAT person. Her accuracy is very, very, very good.
Yeah. Well, that's what you need. And again, you never know when something like that's really going to come into play. Heck, it could be this coming Friday night at Thomasville. And I've, you know, as much as I grew up a Yellow Jacket going to games at the Jackets Nest, but I love going to games at Thomasville as well. It's a small stadium, but with not having a track or anything around it, I mean, you are right on top of it. And I like that. So,
well, and too, I mean, you're talking one of the tradition filled stadiums in this state. I mean, it wasn't too many years ago. In fact, I'm going to have the opportunity to talk to Central's team in the next day or so about a historical perspective of this series. And it wasn't too many years ago where the two programs in this state were Valdosta and Thomasville. Mm-hmm. And it didn't get any better. I mean, when you look at them kind of trading off, winning national and state championships, and when they played each other, it was like the Battle of the Titans. I know when I look at that field at Veterans Stadium there at Thomasville, there are a lot of memories there of Guy McIntyre and Johnny Chastain and Johnny Cavaclis and William Andrews. I mean, you go on and on. That's a pretty good collection of athletes down there, too. The thing about this ball game, Chris, is just like any other rivalry game, you look at Central with superior numbers as far as the school's concerned. I know Central's got 1,500 kids. Thomasville's got 770-something. You can only put 11 on the field. I mean, you can't put 1,500 out there. If we had 1,500 against 700, I'll take those odds, but we got 11 and 11.
Yeah.
And when a rivalry game's being played, all it takes is a couple of weird bounces of a ball and for one team to start getting some momentum. And if they start believing they've got a shot at beating you, they will beat you. And we've seen it many times from the Central standpoint facing superior Thomasville teams.
Well, no doubt about it. And, again, the fact that it is, you know, both sides of the community, the Dogs and the Jackets and a lot of stuff that goes into that during the week. And I would say that 99% of it is all good. There's always a couple of knuckleheads in the crowd, and you try to weed them out. But for the most part,
that's anywhere.
Right, exactly. For the most part, the community really does. I think, like you said, they've been wanting this rivalry to get back together. And I applaud both administrations for making it happen, because I think it's good for the community. And as a broadcaster, is it special for you? I mean, you've done playoff games, you've done state championship games, and a lot of different rivals that Central has. This one's got to be a little bit different for you.
Oh, no question about it, especially as somebody who's a product of the county system as a student. I mean, I graduated from Central back in 81. And this game, I mean, this was the one that you circled. I mean, it didn't matter what else was on the schedule. Of course, we've got Cairo next week, and Cairo's got a good football team, clearly. You hope that you don't leave everything on the field emotionally this week, because you got to have some gas in the tank for another rivalry game next week. But if you win this game, I mean, and I've heard it many, many times, if you win this game, it really doesn't matter what happens the rest of the year, because the people you got to live with, you got bragging rights. And that in the end, the rest of your life is going to be the thing that's going to be talked about. If you're a part of this team and you win this game, shoot, you've got the bragging rights on your friends and your family from that point on, and that makes it very special.
Again, Randy Young joining us, the voice of the Thomas County Central Yellow Jackets, here on the High School Football Report. Real quick, Randy, after Thomasville, just to look ahead a little bit, you mentioned you're going to Cairo, you host the Monroe Tornadoes, you host the Valdosta, and that was a heck of a just back and forth last week, certainly, or last year, I should say. Then you go to Lee County, that's going to be tough. And then you get into this new region now, and I think still kind of doing some scoreboard watching to see where everybody is, but it looks pretty tough.
Yeah, and I mean, everybody's got to drive to the Middle East to play. I mean, you're talking, we've got Warner Robins, which is in Warner Robins. You've got Veterans, which is in Warner Robins. And then Harris County will come here, and then there's a Columbus team. I mean, I understand the classification thing. I get it. I understand that your numbers are what they are. But doggone, Chris, it is a heck of a thing to have three or four region games where your students have to be let out at lunch to be able to get up on buses and drive 3 or 4 hours one way for a region football game.
Yeah,
that's a tough ticket. But yeah, you're right. Team wise, I'm not sure. I mean, Warner Robins people were talking about how good they were going to be, and look what happened with them with Northside. Of course, Northside's Northside.
Yeah,
So I don't know. Bainbridge, I mean, Bainbridge is a great football team. Damian Pierce, I guess you've heard, suffered a pretty bad ankle injury against Godby in their scrimmage last week. And, I mean, they thought it was broken. Turns out it's just one of those high ankle sprains. But you know as well as I do, sometimes those things can be worse than a break.
That's right. That's right.
And that's a young man that's committed to play at Alabama, probably one of the top three running backs in the state. And his injury changes the complexion of everything, too, because if that's going to be the horse they were planning on riding to get themselves into that playoff picture, now all of a sudden you got to find a different horse or at least have somebody else saddled up. So, anyway, there's a lot of football to be played, and I'll be happy to see this when I'm with you. This game needs to be played for the community's sake, and it'll be a lot of fun. You'll have one side solid red, one side solid blue, and that's the way it's supposed to be. It's high school football.
And tickets will be at a premium. I don't know when they're going to sell out, but if you haven't gotten yours, I will get it quickly because it is one of the great atmospheres in all of South Georgia, and I'm sure they'll be looking forward. It is a Thomasville, a 7:30 kickoff. Is that correct?
You know, I think so. I think so. Now, we had 8 o'clock last week with Worth, and I don't know if that was because it wasn't a region game or not, but I think Thomasville does those 7:30. I believe you're right.
And, again, talking to your counterpart, my friend Darrell Allen, last week, he said, you know, it feels like a different attitude. It feels like a different thing. And I think he hit it on the head. He said, we're going to be better. He said, I don't know when exactly it's going to happen, but we feel pretty confident that it is going to happen under Coach Graves. And so we'll wait and see. And I think the same thing could be said for Central. I think you're a little bit further along the line than Thomasville is right now. But, hey, listen, throw all that out the window on Friday night when you got neighbors and cousins hitting each other. It's all off the wall.
You're right. You're right. The thing from our team, for our program this year that I think snuck up on everybody, Chris, we got 26 seniors this year. Mm-hmm. And that's the most seniors we've had in a long, long time. In fact, you can go back to 07 when DeBrell Smiley and Anthony McLeod and P.J. Williams and all those guys made it up to the Georgia Dome and played Ware County that year. I mean, we were ranked number one through most of that year. I think that's the last time we had this many seniors. And the fact that they all come in healthy, at least for the time being, very encouraging. I'm quietly excited about this Yellow Jacket team. I mean, they've kind of flown under the radar the last couple of years, but there's been a lot of injuries, a lot of classroom issues that have been kind of at the core of that. And this year it just seems like the sun, moon, and stars, at least to this point, have aligned. We'll find out a lot more Friday night.
As always, and of course, the great my buddy Lynn Robinson over at Thomasville at WTUF, where Randy does the games along with the Yellow Jacket broadcast crew, and also Darrell Allen, my buddy over WPAX, and they're along our affiliates with the Friday Night Show as well, which we really appreciate what you guys do every Friday night. It's going to be a fun one, Randy. Go enjoy it.
Hey, looking forward to it, Chris, and hopefully, again, the good guys will win it.
Take care, my friend. Have a good week.
we'll talk to you.
All right. Randy Young, the voice. The Yellow Jackets, whatever you call it, Nightmare on Jackson Street. I know I'm dating myself with that one. That's still been maybe my favorite. The Rose City Rumble, Run for the Roses, whatever you call it. It is a great atmosphere for a game, and I'm sure they'll write another great chapter to that coming up this Friday night. We'll tell you about some more games that's going to be played and a little bit about that Damian Pierce injury. Of course, the Bainbridge Bearcats, big running back, who everybody, he's only a junior. That's a good thing. We don't know how long he's going to be out with that ankle sprain, but that's certainly, they got a big one coming up this weekend. As a matter of fact, it is our game of the week coming up Friday night. We'll tell you more about those games. And more of the High School Football Report presented by Cass Birch Automotive. And we'll have more right after this.
And now, more of the High School Football Report presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Here's Chris Beckham.
Once again, broadcasting live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios. This is the High School Football Report presented by our great friends at Cass Birch Automotive. You better get down there and see the great deals that he can make for you today. Of course, locations in Valdosta and equipment as well. Cass Birch has got everything you need, whether, again, trade-in values, never been higher. Trade it in, get you a bunch of money, put it on a new car, truck, SUV. Fantastic deals going on right now. 2016 Chrysler 200 Limited with 0% financing for 7 years or a $5,000 total cash allowance. That offer ends on August the 31st. It is the summer clearance event, and he is clearing them out like nobody's business. Stop by and see him, 4164 North Valdosta Road, or over in equipment as well. Cass Birch Automotive, you'll get a great deal today. All right, talking about some of the upcoming games this week. A lot of great games as we move into week two. First of all, in 7A, Camden County will be at Venice High School down in Sarasota, a long drive. Everything's a long drive from Kingland, but Sarasota is a much longer drive than Orange Park is as well. And Venice High School is a pretty good football team over the last couple of years, so kind of watch out for that one as they get ready to play on Friday night. Also, the Cockle County Packers, big game on Saturday night. American Heritage coming all the way from Miami to the Hog Pen. Would you like to be on that bus ride? Maybe it'll wear them out. It's going to be a great game again. Saturday football in Moultrie. American Heritage is ranked in a lot of national polls, coming in to take on the Cockle County Packers. Another big test for Rush Probst. Still young, but talented football team. Lowndes gets their home opener against Bayside, Florida, a team they've played in the past from down around, where's Bayside? Around Palm Beach, Florida, I believe. And also in Region 1 7A, the Tift County Blue Devils will have their home opener as the Cook High Hornets come up after their loss in overtime against Brooks County last week, as they'll step up in classification to take on the Tift County Blue Devils. And again, Tift County looking very good in their season opener in their Eric Russell Classic over in Statesboro on Friday. In that very dangerous Region 1 5A, Coffee will be at Brunswick. That's going to be a pretty good football team. Coffee, again, very loaded on defense. Offense got clicking last Friday night. Brunswick has a lot of Division I talent. Brunswick is a good football team, and this should be a good test for the Coffee High Trojans, that game on the road in Brunswick coming up on Friday night. Houston County Bears. Well, if you did not get to see Jake Fromm, the University of Georgia commit for the Houston County Bears, goodness gracious alive. He threw for over 400 yards in their season opening win over Mary Persons. They'll go to Peach County this week. This is Peach County's opener. And Peach County also dealing with the death of one of their players who died in a car accident over the weekend. Again, they were off on Friday night. So we certainly send our thoughts and prayers to that Peach County program, and they're certainly still reeling from that. They got to somehow get it together to take on a very talented Houston County Bear football team Friday night in Fort Valley. The Valdosta Wildcats, obviously, coming off the big Wintersville Classic win. They'll be at home against Woodland from Stockbridge. That's the Wolfpack coming in on Friday night. Lee County will go to Bainbridge, and that will be our game of the week this coming Friday night. Now, Damian Pierce, as Randy Young mentioned, Damian Pierce, the talented running back for Bainbridge, and he showed off exactly why he is so highly thought of in that scrimmage they had against Godbee this past Friday night. Some teams did play scrimmages this past Friday night. Pierce, 22 carries, 152 yards, played very well, also caught one pass for 2 yards, but he got late in that game a high ankle sprain. Don't know the severity of that injury. This is not a region game, so I will be, I don't know when he's going to be able to come back. And he's basically the offense. Quarterback Brett McLaughlin had 7 completions for 58 yards. He did throw 2 interceptions there as well. McLaughlin did have 1 scoring run. When you talk about carrying the ball, Bamber says Malik Pate, 6 carries for 32 yards. Donovan McCray, 10 carries for 45 yards. So they got some other guys who can carry the ball, but they're not Damian Pierce. And that's going to hurt. We already know Lee County has a very stingy run defense. Aubrey Solomon looks like a man-child. Played defensive tackle Torrey Carter, also on that defensive line as well. And they got others. Reese in the backfield as a safety. He's a big hard hitter. So that challenge for Bainbridge just got tougher. But Bainbridge is a good football team. They won 12 games a year ago and has a lot back. So just if they don't have Damian Pierce, that does not mean they're going to fold the tent and give up against Lee County. That's still going to be what I think is going to be a very good football game. The other Northside Water Robins, they're going to be hosting Henry County, and I do not imagine. We'll wait and see. I don't think this is going to be a big test for Northside. They won very easily against Warner Robins in their season opener last week. We'll go down to 1-5A. We mentioned Bainbridge hosting Lee County. Thomas County Central, again, at Thomasville, the rekindling of an old rivalry there. Veterans will be at Dublin. Harris County will host Hardaway. And Warner Robins will be at Locust Grove as well. Ware County, another team that is in our coverage area, they're in 2-5A. Ware County will open their season by hosting Glen Academy. Kind of keep your eye on Waycross. That could be a pretty entertaining ball game on Friday night as well. In 1-Quad A, the Cairo Syrup Makers get the week off after beating Thomasville last week. America Sumter will open its season at Crisp County. As Bryce Johnson, my cohort on Friday night, said, watch this Crisp County team. A lot of talent. They could be an underdog to win that region in AAA. Also, the other area teams, Westover Patriots, they will play on Saturday night at Monroe at Hugh Mills Stadium. And the Saturday night, Auburn usually, or sometimes, I think it's probably usually, has the game on Saturday night. One AAA, Cook High, we mentioned they'll be at Tift County. Crisp, again, will host Americus. Doherty gets the week off. Monroe will play on Saturday night against Westover. Worth County will be at Turner County. That's going to be one of the 10 games we're picking as well. That's an interesting ball game. Worth County a little bit banged up, as Randy mentioned, coming off of a very tough loss at Turner County, a very athletic Turner County team. Ben Simmons has got some players up in Ashburn. They like to throw it around a little bit. Great receivers, pretty decent size. That's going to be a very interesting game. You're talking about AAA versus single A, but again, when you talk about squad size, they're fairly similar. So watch out for that game in Ashburn. That could be a fun one to watch on Friday night as well. In 1AA, Brooks County going to get the week off after their win over Cook. The Berrien Rebels will be at Lanier County. That's the season opener for Carl Parker's Bulldogs over in Lakeland. Albany will host Mitchell County. Early County gets the week off. We know Thomasville will host Thomas County Central. And the state's number one AA team, the Fitzgerald Purple Hurricanes, will begin their season against their big rival. They'll be hosting Irwin County at JC Stadium right there in Fitzgerald. That could be a lot of fun. That's always a fun game to watch. And, boy, do they have weapons. And do they have speed. J.D. King, the state's leading rusher last year, trying to become one of the top 10 leading rushers in the state's history. And that's some pretty good names on that list. We'll tell you about that in just a second. He starts his season coming up on Friday night. Real quick look at single A. Clinch County will go on the road. They'll be at McIntosh County Academy. Atkinson County will host Jeff Davis. Charlton County opens its season. They'll host Brantley County's Herons. We mentioned Irwin will take on Fitzgerald. Also, Lanier County hosting Berrien. We told you about Turner County. Wilcox will be at Tatnall Square. And Telfair will host Savannah High School. In the GISA region this week, a really interesting game. Vowood will be at Westfield up in Perry. Westfield won the state championship 2 years ago in AAA. Last year, they only lost two games, both to Vowood, including, I think it was 27-26 in the state semifinals. Westfield's a good football team. They lost their season opener 12-6 to Southland, a bit of a surprise there. Simply, Southland's not a bad football team, but Westfield had so much success, and so they may be in rebuilding mode, but I can guarantee you, after losing only two games last year and losing both of them to Vowood, they will be looking hard to knock off the Valiants, who, again, are coming off a very impressive win led by the defense over Memorial Day at Goddardville last Friday night. Now you got to make the trip up to Perry. That is not going to be an easy trip to make, and that should be a fun one to watch up there. Also, Georgia Christian will be on the road at Robert Toombs. Christian Brookwood will be on the road at McClay, which is right over the state line in Tallahassee. And also Deerfield-Windsor will also go down to Tallahassee to take on North Florida Christian, which is a very good team down there. So, real quick, our player of the week, we go to Leesburg, Lee County, with a big win over Jones County in the Thursday night edition of the Corky Kell Kickoff Classic. Running back Mark Robinson jumps in 33 carries, 157 yards rushing and one touchdown. He is our player of the week this week, so congratulations to Mark Robinson against Lee County. Also, the 10 games we'll be picking, we'll post this on our social media page. So if you want to pick along with us, the match wits with myself, defending champion, I'm legally obliged to say that, to Megan Shunoff, and also our buddy Robert Heidrich, the former sports editor of the WAOB television, as well as myself and Bryce Johnson, and, of course, Coach Brian Atwater. Our 10 games we'll be picking this week: Berrien at Lanier, Irwin at Fitzgerald, Cook at Tift County, Camden at Venice, Florida, Coffee at Brunswick, Thomas County Central at Thomasville, Worth County at Turner County, Woodland at Valdosta, Bayside, Florida at Lowndes, and our game of the week, the Lee County Trojans at the Bainbridge Bearcats. So those are the 10 games. Again, if you follow us on Facebook, both at the High School Football Report and also at the Triangle Furniture Football Friday night, you can check out those 10 games, pick along with us, keep score. We all had a fairly good weekend for the opening weekend. Wintersville Classic trip, most of us, a lot of us picked Lowndes to beat Valdosta, but the Valdosta Wildcats showed that they still got a lot of fight left in them. We talked real quick. I'm going to finish up with this one. J.D. King, the running back at Fitzgerald High School, had a great, great year last year, and he is trying to become one of the top 10 rushers in the state's history. When you look at that list, boy, it's a pretty good list. Let's see. We'll go from 10 all the way up to number 1. Number 10, Charles Grant, Miller County. Played in the NFL, not as a running back. Micah Andrews with the Greater Atlanta Christian. Kaywan Bryant, North Dakota. He was just a couple of years ago. Durante Dunson, excuse me, from Heard County. He also finished up his career a couple of years ago. Greg Williams from Metter. Now, he was back in the early 80s. Never heard from him again. That's generally the case in these kinds of lists. Brett Milliken played at Parkview High School in the mid-90s. Also played a little bit at Georgia. 7,322 yards for Eddie Dixon back at Emanuel County Institute in the early 80s. Third on the all-time list, Chris Clay, Randolph Clay High School. A little bitty guy, but man, was he productive back in 2004 through 2007. 7,695 total yards. Second on the list, Robert Toomer. Remember Robert Toomer? Played for Milt Miller at Worth County High School. 7,841 yards. And number one, and I'll be honest with you, I know you never say never, and a guy who you didn't really hear from a lot after high school, but he has a 1,000-yard lead over second place. Commerce's Monte Williams, 1997 to 2000, 8,844 yards. That's pretty high territory to be in. J.D. King, who again gained over 2,300 yards last year, he is aiming for another big year. This year, it all starts Friday night when he begins his high school senior season as he hosts his rival, Irwin County. J.D. King has already committed to Oklahoma State University. He will head to Stillwater, and he wants to be a Cowboy, and he will be this time next year. But right now, he wants to be a Purple Hurricane, and they've got a very talented team. It's not just J.D. King. They got a Virginia Tech commit, Lasita Smith at tight end. James Graham, their quarterback, is an unbelievable athlete, and he's already been offered by a lot of SEC and ACC schools as well. So that'd be a good matchup on Friday night. Again, we appreciate Randy Young joining us earlier this evening, talking about the Rose City Rumble. Also, we hope you join us on Facebook and also on the Triangle Furniture Football Friday night Facebook page. Also, follow us on Twitter. If you want scores on Friday night, we urge you to go support your team. Follow us on Twitter at SOGA Football on Twitter. Megan Shudoff does a tremendous job sending those scores down the line so you can keep up with everything going on in South Georgia. Again, big thanks to Cass Birch Automotive, our great friends at Citizens Community Bank and the Holiday Inn and Conference Center. Hope you have a good rest of your Monday night, and we'll see you next week right here on the High School Football Report.